Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Everyone, hello, hello, hello. Yes, yes, yes. It is another Monday evening here on the Marriage Playbook, and we're so excited. Yes, we are coming live from the Philadelphia Brotherly Love, and we're also here live in the studio at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. We are so excited about tonight's show, Embracing Change. And I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for all your love, your prayers. And look, we're going to get this show started. Coach Eric, how are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I'm excited about this wonderful weather that we are getting. We had a lot of rain yesterday, okay, and last night, but we're getting some beautiful weather today. And I just thank God to be here, man. This is season 5. This is actually game 12. We got it wrong. But it's game 12, embracing change. Yes, this is the last game of this season. Season 6 is going to start in about 2 weeks. But season 5, game 12, embracing change.
Right.
Now, this is something that every married couple pretty much knows about.
Yeah.
Because everybody has to go through this when you get married, you know. Embracing this change, right? Some of the problems that we may have in our marriage in the beginning and in that transitional phase and that adjustment period is that we don't embrace that there's change, all right? Things have to change because your whole situation has changed now that you're married, you know? So, however, these changes must be embraced by you and everybody around you have to embrace it. Did you get pizza, babe?
Yes, I did.
Now, my wife said she was going to the store. Usually it's like a cup of coffee. You came back with a whole pizza, babe.
Yes. Hello, everyone on the Marriage Playbook. I just wanted you to know we were so busy for the past week. And I'm telling you, I flew over clear across town. We thank God that the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church, we're always doing so much outreach mission work. We had an opportunity to actually do haircuts for another church, which was in Southwest Philadelphia area, and we're so grateful for that. So I flew from over there, fly to the studio. I didn't eat anything, and I was starving to death, and normally pizza would not be the first thing. But guess whose birthday it is on tomorrow? So I said I'm going to celebrate with a pie. But look, we're not going to... So I'm so excited about what God had did today, even throughout the weekend. And I want to get back to the subject because today, as I was cutting a young man's hair that was married or getting ready to get married, that was one of the things before you get married, even before you get married, is some adjustments and some changes that's going to take place. You know, whether it's separating yourself from friends and you guys coming together, but whatever it is, transition is going to take place. The other thing Coach Eric said, and we definitely have experienced, and we know every married couple that's listening have experienced it, is that also, especially as you've been together for some time, after 5 years, after 10 years, there's always an adjustment period. Every time, because you got two individual people that are growing together, but also you're growing individually. So things are always, it's always a transition taking place. And what we have to be careful is that we're always communicating with one another, allowing each other to know where we are. And I'm going to be honest, if we as couples, each other, are praying and staying before God, God will reveal how you can better help your spouse transition into the next area of their life, especially if you're in ministry and you're getting ready to get elevated and things are moving that way. You're getting ready to buy a home, a car. Whatever you're doing, it's always a transitioning going on. And I find a lot of times people in marriages, lose it in the transition, and then you find yourself bickering, arguing all the time. You find yourself upset all the time. You find all these things going on, but what it is it's the transition period. And if you both don't identify, look, this is something that's going to happen continually in our marriage as long as we're together, as long as life, we have life, it's going to continue to be change. Don't ever get to the point where, oh, it's like this. She's been like this for 10 years. Well, she may have. But guess what? Eventually some things is going to change, you know? So, yes, please, we got to embrace the change that's going to take place, and it may come more than 4 or 5 times, you know?
All right, that was well said. Listen, we're going to take a little break while my wife gorges down this pizza, you know, because I don't want to choke it on the air or get indigestion. Okay, so we're going to take a break, all right, so she can get right into this pizza for a minute and then have some water, rinse it down or something, and then we're going to get into the show when we get back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz at gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, all right, all right. Marriage Playbook, Season 5, Game Number 12, Embracing Change. Mm-hmm. Embracing Change. So it's our prayer and our endeavor today that we can assist you. You know, I hope some of these views will help you see things through married eyes, okay? And so we can embrace those necessary change so we can ensure that our marriage will be successful. You know, because that's what this is all about. If we can't have a successful marriage, what we do is we somehow give a black eye to God, because actually people don't see the marriage like this. Well, marriage is designed to glorify God. We think it's about us, and it's not about us. So when we embrace the whole concept of being married, the first thing we got to do is embrace the fact that, hey, man, we got to change. All right? We got to change. Okay, and our first segment is talking about, it's all about transition. It's all about transition. It's all about new adjustments. Okay, the process or the period of changing from one state or condition to another. That's the definition of transition. We're changing from one state or one period to another. We come from being a single person to being a married couple. Now, it's not being a married person. Okay, when you say married person, Sometimes that sounds like an oxymoron because the whole concept of marriage is oneness. So when you become one with an individual, you're not a person no more, you're persons. Even if you're not with the other person, you're still persons plural. You represent a plural relationship. Why? Because you're married. You're one with somebody. Just because you guys are not in the same place does not stop you from being one. And we got to have that condition in our mind to saying, I'm married to this individual, and we're not individuals anymore. Now we're one person. Now I'm the same individual as my wife or as my husband. So we're all the same. When you're looking at Mr. Harrison, you're also looking at Mrs. Harrison. So show some respect. Put some respect on that because I'm not just one person you're talking to. Okay, that's number one. Okay, usually the new spouse, you know, if they did things the way we should biblically do when it comes to dating, we did things the right, usually your new spouse is a stranger. What do I mean? She's a stranger when it comes to cohabitation. Now, I know in this modern day era that men and women, they live together before they get married, if they get married after living together,
right,
which they shouldn't do because that's not biblical. Okay, we shouldn't be living together then get married. We shouldn't come together until we get married. So when you do get two get together, you really should be strangers when it comes to cohabitation. And that's the fun part of marriage. Find out the little quizzes about your wife or about your husband, little things he likes, little things she likes, and the things she don't like. You know, whether she likes crust on her sandwich. Okay, whether she likes her sandwich toasted. She might not like cheese. Okay. Guess what? She might not like to be cold, have the window up at night when it's time to go sleep like I do. I like to be cold. My wife likes to be warm. Okay, so we got a problem there. Every time I turn on the air conditioner, I don't care if it's 98 degrees at night. When I turn the air conditioner on, she starts complaining. I'm saying, listen to me. The air conditioner is conditioning the air for us to be comfortable right now. She rather sweat and be hot. And then I'm the one that's miserable. Why? She likes to be hot.
He's trying to pull our stuff all out there. But it's so true. And, you know, you got to compromise. You know, you got to know how to meet in the middle with this, because if not, it could destroy marriage. And it doesn't make sense for something so simple, some so minute, that you guys can't come together and say, you know what, this is what we'll do. You know, let's get you some more covers on the blanket or on the bed, or let's turn it down some. It don't have to be on, you know, North Pole blasting and blazing. See, because Coach Erie didn't tell you. He liked the air on with the ceiling fan going, you know, and it just feel like Antarctica in there, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's ridiculous, all right? So we got to meet in the middle. And that's so important because it's about learning each other. I mean, it's to me disheartening that so many marriages are falling apart and are ending up in divorce because of the simple little things. And then it also showed me, because it's so simple and so little, then did you guys really love each other in the beginning? You know, because I go to the vows. This is what came to me. I go to the vows. When you stand up and you take those vows, it's already telling you in the beginning, in sickness and in health, you know, for better or for worse. It tells you all these different things. Why is it saying that? Why are the vows? Anybody ever ask themselves, why does these vows say this? Because anything can happen at any given moment. And before you get married, you have to make up in your mind that this person I'm going to be with, we're going to enter into this marriage, this covenant, man, woman, and God, and that some things may transpire, you know, because of why? Just because of life. Some things are going to happen, you know, and it's disheartening that how we just see people ending up in divorce or not speaking or separating or... And, you know, then when they talk to you, it'd be something so small, you know, something that really, if even before you say, I'm going to leave and do this, that, and the other, you need to seek counsel, you know. But a transition, you have to be careful, because transitions will allow you to lose each other if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ever heard the term lost in transition? That happens.
It's a true statement.
Okay, you can get lost in transition. So what you want to do is treat the transition like being on a roller coaster. You ever realize that when you get in the roller coaster, they put the bar down and the bar locks? But then the other bars for you to hold on to. Why? Because they're going to be twists. They're going to be turns. There's going to be loops. You're going to be going downhill. You'll be going uphill. All in the same thing. And what that roller coaster represents is how life is going to twist and change. This is going to happen. Man, she's eating pizza, and it feels like I got indigestion. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, excuse me, I'm not even eating it. But it feels like it's affecting me. See how we won? You know, so unprofessional, eating a pizza during a broadcast. We have a talk. We have a meeting right after this.
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't make sense.
God.
Anyway, we're dealing with, we like to have fun. You know, we're dealing with transition, you know. Now, we must think like a married individual now that we're married. We must think like a married person. When and how we shop. You know how when you're single and you just go shopping and you buy the shoes you want, you buy that dress you like, or, you know, you go buy those sneakers, man, you know, and you buy 2 and 3 pair because it's just you. So, you know, you can splurge on yourself because it's just you. You done paid your rent. So guess what? This check is yours. You know, you want some new sneakers. You saw them. They're on sale. They might not be. You buy all 3 of them. You don't care. Okay, all that kind of activity kind of changes when you get married because it's like you got to go into the store saying, I'm going to buy a pair of shoes for myself. Okay, it's important for a man and a woman to know each other's sizes because you got to think about your spouse when you're shopping. You know, when you come home with one bag and it's just your bag, that's cool, you know, but no, it'd be better if you came home with a bag and you bought something for her. Or she bought, my wife is always thinking about me when she goes out shopping. And she always be bringing me back something I like because she knows what I like. I know my wife's shoe size. So when I'm out and I see some shoes that's her size and I might can get them right there, I just go ahead and get them if I like them and I got to know her style. Okay, because you can't go out and buy stuff that you know your wife is not going to wear and say, wear this. And then expect for her to accept it and to like it. She might wear it for you, but she's not going to be happy in it. You know, so I know the designers that she likes, the styles that she likes. So when I see something that's her, I just go ahead and grab it if I have the money. Okay, so I'm shopping like a married man. Okay, so even how we shop. Now, here's a big one. How, and me and my wife go back and forth with this all the time, how you deal with the opposite sex.
That's right.
Now, this is a big one now. Okay, we're talking about embracing change. Now, if you're the kind of man that likes attention, okay, like me, I like the tension, particularly from the opposite sex. That's why I talk and tell jokes, have the women laughing. I like that attention. I grew up in a house full of women, had a bunch of sisters, and I was the entertainment. So that's part of my personality, okay? But I have to tone that back because I'm a married man, and I don't want to make or give the wrong impression to a woman that I'm talking to. She might think I'm interested in because I'm carrying on a conversation. So I got, see how my wife is just chiming in. She ready to talk about this, you know, because we talked about that, you know. I got to kind of watch how I behave, you know. I mean, I still have to be myself, but I got to do tone some things back because I don't want to give women the wrong impression. I'm a married man. No, I'm not available. That's why, you know, you have to make a point of mentioning to women when you're in their presence that you're married. Now, I'm not talking about walking around talking about, I'm married, I can't talk to you. I'm not talking about acting crazy. I'm just saying you got to mention, you know, that you're a married man. For example, you got to say little things like, I tell my wife, listen, when people are talking to me, if it's the opposite, if I'm in the store, you know, and I had a woman tell me that I was handsome, and I believe her because I believe that's true, okay? All right, first of all, I believe that's true, that she said that. She wasn't just saying that, but she said I was handsome. So I responded respectfully and said, my wife think I'm handsome too, thank you. And she was like, oh, okay, I got to let you know. Because you're telling me that you're attracted to me in some kind of way.
Right.
You might just be being polite, but I got to let you know, listen, I'm a married man. Listen, you know, leave me alone. I'm a family man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so you got to put that out there. Women, and my wife should be saying this part, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to give her the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, if you like attention and trying to be the center of attention, listen, you can't be the center of attention anymore. If you want attention, you got to get that from your husband now. You know, so you can't wear the clothes that's going to attract all the men in the room to you. Now, if you're already an attractive woman, there's nothing you can do about that. When you walk in the room, men, women, they're going to say, man, that woman there is beautiful. What I am saying is don't over-accentuate your beauty. I'm talking about body parts. and things like that. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You could be modest in your apparel, still look nice,
right,
and even sexy for your husband, okay, if he's with you. But be careful in the way you carry yourself.
Because it's important. I mean, we got to remember, we're talking kingdom principles here. We're talking about when you call yourself a child of God, when you say, oh, I love the Lord, and, you know, you're laying on the ground and you're giving God worship and you're doing all this, and then you get up off the floor and then you do something that you know God is not pleased with. I remember me and Coach Eric, I said this in a previous, I'm going to tell his testimony again, I pray it bless somebody, but I remember in a previous show, I had told this testimony about how me and Coach Eric, when we first got married, me and him was always arguing because it was particular women in the church, and they would do things, not necessarily, hear me out, not necessarily that they want Coach Eric, but I notice a lot of times women want to be married, okay? And it's either you want to be married or they see your marriage and they see what God is doing and they see maybe God's hand on the marriage. Another scenario may be you have, I've experienced, these are things I've experienced, so I know for a fact, but God had to deal with me in a mature way how to deal. You have people who see your marriage, and if their marriage is not going good, then they feel some type of way. So let me go back to the story. It was, you know, particular women in the church, and they were doing things deliberately. And just the way they would touch him, you know, when they speak to him, just different things like that. And, I mean, it got to the point where, you know, as his wife, you know, he is my covering, he's my head, but God has also called me as his wife to stand in a particular position even when it comes to even protecting him. And nobody, you know, hear me out, nobody should be addressing your husband, talking to your husband, dealing with your husband like they're your wife, like they're the wife, and you're not. And if that is going on, I'm telling you now, you need to seek God on wisdom how to deal. But long story short, the Lord gave me wisdom how to deal. One young lady didn't even know what she was doing because of the promiscuity and the things she had encountered as a young woman. So when I approached her and sat with her and talked to her, and she apologized and she said, my God, I never knew I was doing that. You got some people that don't know, but then you got some people that deliberately do things. I say all that to say because we would go home and me and Coach Eric would get into these big, huge blowouts. And he didn't understand, because, see, a woman knows another woman, okay? So you're not fooling anybody. Just because we don't say anything does not mean we don't see you. Don't mean that we do not feel you, you know, especially if you don't have the spirit of discernment. God will show you everything. But it's a point of us being children of God and kingdom-minded. You have to be careful that you don't even hurt that soul that's in that position. And that's what God had to show me, because me and Coach Eric would have these blowouts, and he'd be like, well, what did I do? And what's wrong? And he would go through the whole thing, and I would explain it to him. And like he said, yes, you like the tension and all that, and that was your past. You're married now, so you have to be careful because, you know, it's disrespectful, because when women see a husband come out of character or don't show respect to the wife, a woman going to show up and act out even the more. So the husband got to keep that in check just like the wife do, you know. And so anyway, I was upset. I was so upset. I was so upset. I think this was our first 2 years of marriage. And, I mean, that thing was, like, really bothering me because it was very disrespectful. And it was hurtful because it was coming from people who said they're children of God in church. So it was hurtful. So I'm ministering to somebody right now, and I want you to know God don't want you to walk around bitter, angry, and hurt. But God wants you to see it in another perspective, because as you grow and you become mature and you know what God is calling you to, what God had to show me was, now I have delivered you, I have saved you, and actually look at yourself, all the lust and the promiscuity and all the things you did and how you were and how I delivered you from that. So now you're not that anymore. Now I need you to be able to minister to my daughter so they can be free. And when God said that to me in prayer and ministered that thing to me, it broke that whole thing off of me. It broke that anger. It broke that jealousy. It broke that me feeling like that. Don't get me wrong. As his wife, I'm going to always be protective. I don't understand folks that, you know, no. God has called me to his life for a reason. And so even with God calling me to his life and him to my life, we have responsibility to one another, and we don't allow nobody to come between that. Nobody. And so I just want to encourage somebody, you know, while we're having this discussion, if that's going on or has, trust me, you got to see it from another level. You know, especially if God has delivered you and God has healed you. Now God wants you to be a blessing to your sisters, you know. And men, God wants you to be a blessing to your brothers. We have to get to a place where we can help one another. We don't help one another no more. I don't understand that. You know, everything is dog everybody down. We give up on folks too quick. We make quick judgments, you know. And a lot of times it's because we're not healed in those areas that we need to be healed in. You know, we need to really be honest and let God heal us in these areas so our marriages can be blessed, you know. And it be these little things that hinder us and stop us from being all that we can be with one another, you know. So I'm telling you from experience, I've experienced some stuff concerning transition, man, that really could have destroyed our marriage, and that was one of them. Because I told him, listen, if this don't stop, you know, we're going to get a divorce. And we had already vowed we will not say the divorce word in our household or in our, and I was just that upset, you know. And so as time went on, and then he began to see, not because I was upset, not because what I said to him changed his view, only because I got quiet, I stopped arguing about it, and I went in my prayer closet and I began to start praying and talking to God after God had ministered to me. And then God showed him. And he was like, oh, my goodness, I had no idea. Because that's how open it was, you know. And so we have to be careful with the opposite sex, you know. And you do. You have women and men in their mind wish they were with your husband or wish your husband was theirs, you know, or mad at your marriage. I mean, we have experienced all kinds of things. And so we just want to warn you guys, because we have been through the experience, your marriage don't have to end. You guys are responsible for your marriage. It's you two that come together and talk about everything and deal with matters and confront stuff. All the outside stuff, outside people, outside influences don't mean nothing. It's your marriage, you know. I don't care what nobody say. I hear a whole lot of stuff, but I don't care what nobody say. I am holding the charge that God has given me to my husband. I'm going to reverence him. I'm going to show what it looks like or what a godly marriage is supposed to look like, because that's what God commanded me to do in his word. I'm not going to stop being who God has called me to be as his wife because other people don't like it. I will not do that. So I'm telling you, be encouraged. Wives, be encouraged. Yes, we go through a lot. Trust me, I know. But be encouraged. You can do this thing. And most of all, you guys can do it together. Be encouraged.
All right. With that, we're going to take a break. But before I do, do you have a problem buying a car, have high interest rates buying a car, trouble buying that house, or even getting a job? Because today they check your credit before they even give you a job. All right. If you have that problem, get in touch with my friend, Tavon Thomas. He'll do some magic on your credit situation. I got an email for you. Credit Houdini. Yes, Credit Houdini at gmail.com. Like magic, your credit will improve. We'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. Embracing change. Our next segment, friends and family. Now, this is going to be a little interesting. Okay? Because at some point, you know, and I mean, this is going to be hard to listen to, but at some point you may have to treat your friends and your family as the enemy when they don't respect the boundaries of your marriage. Because now things, you know, become different now, okay? Things have to change, even the way your family deals with, the way your friends deal with you. Why? Because they got to respect that now you're in the institution of marriage and it's a different way of thinking. Let me show you why. Hanging out with your single friends has limitations now. What do you mean, Coach Eric, limitations? You can't hang out with the boys all night once you're married. No, that's right. You can't hang out with the fellas all night, especially your single fellas. If there's a few guys in the group that's married, you're going to see them going off home. Now, I've experienced this, and I've seen this even as a single person. When somebody said, look, I got to go home, you know, and we teased them, man, so bad. You got to go home. Oh, you got to go home to mommy now. Oh, you got to check in. Oh, man. And they just would walk away like, look, I got to go home. What do you want me to do? You know what I mean? And guess what? Once I became married, then I understood that, look, I got to go home. I can't hang out with you guys all night. I can't walk in the house like 2 in the morning. Come on, look at me like I'm crazy. What are you doing coming to the house at 2 in the morning? I got to call and check in and all that. Now, listen, I'm a grown man. I ain't got to do anything. But if I want my marriage to be successful, I got to respect my marriage. I got to respect my wife to the point that, listen, I need to ask her permission if I want to stay a little bit longer. Look, I'm having a good time. I know it's 10 o'clock. Look, are you all right? You need me to come home? Can I stay another hour? You know, and it sounds like a boy talking to his mother, but guess what? My body don't belong to me. It belongs to her, so I got to ask her, can I keep my body out another hour with the fellas? And this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. Okay? So guess what? That's a real thing. Likewise with the women. You can't run around with your single friends all night. You can't stay out all night. You can't go to Vegas and spend a weekend with the girls. I don't understand this thing with married women wanting to go out with the girls and spend a weekend or go on vacation without your husband. There's no way in the world I'm letting my wife go on vacation without me if it ain't ministry. Ain't no way you are not going to Jamaica without me.
What? Coach Eric, you said a mouthful, and me and Coach Eric, before we got married, we really, really discussed a lot of things, and that was one of the things. It wasn't so much that he's saying this now and I'm not aware. He already expressed how he feel before we walked down the aisle. I already expressed how I felt before we walked down the aisle. During the whole courtship process, we already discussed a whole lot of things. And sometimes some stuff you're not going to explain to other people. Folks are looking at your marriage from the outside in, but they don't understand that our marriage is the way it is because we sat down and we had already set boundaries. We already set up what we were and were not going to do. And if any of those things were going to change, it had to be a mutual agreement to it, you know. Now, I like to back up on what he said. You know, we get this thing confused. We had a powerful man of God preach on yesterday, afternoon service. And he said some powerful things that only me and Coach Eric had said even in our private time with each other. And I think we don't understand that when you deal with And there's nothing wrong with women being single. You got to understand, I was single before I was married. But it is a difference, even in ministry. It's a difference when a woman is married and when a woman is single.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big difference when a woman is married and her marriage is not all working out.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? It is a total difference. You know, so even in ministry, as much as I love God and God knows my heart and I will do anything in ministry and all of that, but let me tell you something, my husband is my first ministry. My house is my first ministry. Our children are grown, but until they come in Christ, they are our ministry. You know, and if we cannot, this man of God said this, and it was just so powerful. If we cannot display our marriage and deal with our grandchildren and deal with our children, how are we going to be on the air telling anybody anything? Our house has to be in order. Our lives have to be in order. Are we still growing? Yes, we are. Are we still learning? Yes, we are. We are under phenomenal teaching in the house that we serve under. And not only that, ministry, we're doing ministry all the time. Even when Coach Eric and I are not in church, we are always ministering. We're ministering on vacation. We have been ministering for years, and we will continue on to minister. But it is a big difference, you know. And sometimes, even when people are single, they don't see it from that perspective. And it's not that anyone's better than. It's not that I think, oh, this is better. Or it's not that. It's just a different perspective. You know, it's a total different perspective, you know. And so I thank God for everything that he's doing, and Coach Eric hit that. My body don't belong to me. So if somebody's going away and I say, well, look, babe, can I go? And he tell me, no, I cannot go. So you can't persuade me. You can't talk me into it. You can't try to convince me. No, because my husband said no. And guess what? I didn't get married to be away from my husband. I really didn't. I want to be with him every day of my life as much as I can, because one day we're going to leave here and we're not going to be with each other until we see each other again in glory. So I don't want to hang out with a bunch. I want to be with my friend. I want to be with who God has given me. You know, I want to spend time with the man that I love. I don't need to be with nobody else. And that's, I'm just being honest. You know, and I don't belong to myself. I can't do what I want to do. And guess what? I don't want to. Because, again, if my marriage is not giving God glory, then what am I doing?
Then what are you doing?
You know, what am I doing? Is God pleased with my marriage? See, that's what I'm looking at.
Mm.
I'm not looking at on the outside how other people see my marriage and how other people feel and what other people think. God, are you glorified with my marriage? Are you glorified how I'm honoring this man of God? Are you getting glory, God, on how I treat him and talk to him? God, are you getting glory in my life about what I'm doing to with your son? This is his son. This is his child. So I can't treat him any kind of way and do any kind of thing to him, because then I have to answer to God. You know? So, you know, you have to have the right mindset. We're talking kingdom now. We say we God's and we're his chosen and we're his elect and we're all anointed and we got this power and all this. But, man, all that stuff is going to show in how you deal and your character, you know? So I let a lot of folks think I'm a pushover or I don't this, that. I see everything. Trust me. I see everything. I just don't speak on everything because I've learned to go to my prayer closet and talk to God about those things that may vex me, those things that may hurt me, those things that may I feel I have been wrong, you know? And then God is still now, even now, calling me to another level of maturity, even with how to deal in those areas, you know? So listen to me. I'm telling you, we don't belong to ourselves. And when we have all this stuff going on, you know, how much glory are we bringing to God? I mean, we say it ain't about us, it's about God, and it's about this, it's about, but how much glory is he getting? Is he satisfied? Is he pleased? And God, if you're not pleased with my life, God, show me what to do so I can be a better wife. Show me what I can do that I can get my grown children to receive you as Lord in Jesus Christ, as Savior, you know, and as Lord in their lives. What can I do to minister to my grandchildren so they won't repeat the same cycle and the stuff that I've been through? God, show me. See, if we take a lot of time and start asking God to deal with us, we wouldn't even be looking at our spouses. And women, we got to learn how to go in that closet and pray for our husbands, keep our husbands covered. They deal with so much in a day. Our young sons, our daughters. Listen, we got to stop it with all this craziness and snatch back our children from this world that's trying to destroy them. That man of God preached yesterday. He preached everything that's in my heart that I feel. So we're here to help you. We're here to love on you. If you got any questions, come on, call in. 646-668-8485. 646-668-8485. We're here to answer questions the best to our ability with the playbook is in front of us, praise God, and even with our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding God has given us and our experiences. But we want you guys to be successful in your marriages. We want your households to be successful. I say that every show. If you listen to every show, because that's my desire. That's a heartfelt thing that God is showing me, that marriages can be blessed. Households can be blessed. And it don't have to just be finances. See, we just looking for the finances, looking for the finances, looking for the finances. But then you get the finances, and then you still want to commit suicide. So it's not in the finances. We have to get the love of God in our hearts. Let the Lord do surgery on all those areas and things we've been through, the things we picked up from the world. If we were molested, if we were raped, if somebody beat us down, if whatever happened in our lives, we got to start facing those issues. Let God deal with us so we can be successful families, you know? We really have to. Now, I'm turning this back over to Coach Eric because you just touched a part that really just really, really just touched my heart. Look, we're going to commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. Still here, Season 5, Game 12, Embracing Change. Coach Fran went into one of her rants. And thank God, because it gave me an opportunity to eat a slice of that pizza. I was trying to be professional, But that pizza was looking so good. I said, I got to get a slice of that. And if she keep talking, I'm be able to finish that slice. So thank God that she went on so I can finish that slice. But let's get back to our segment, friends and family. Okay, now I left off talking about there's limitations when you're hanging with your single friends. Mm-hmm. And that's to protect the covenant of your marriage. Okay, so that you can respect your spouse because you have responsibilities other than yourself now. Okay, so you should get home at a decent hour. Okay, now, it's a wake-up call for mama's boys and daddy's little girls. Because once you get married,
that's
over now. That's over. It's no way in the world that my father-in-law gonna come to my house and tell my wife what to do. I said, you better go take care of mom because you gave her to me. She is my responsibility, so take yourself down the street. You understand? You got to be a man to do that, but understand your responsibility as a husband in the marriage. You got the headship now, okay? It ain't no more daddy's little girls. It ain't no mama's boy, especially when your mom is giving your wife a hard time. Brother, protect your wife from your mom and get out of that mama's boy because that your mama now is your wife, okay? Mama's over now. That's done. She done raised you. She had you all your life, okay? Now you're married now. All right, keep your mama out of your business, particularly if your mama don't like your wife or your father don't like your husband. Wow. Let me show you something here, right? I want you to take note to this, okay? When someone don't like your spouse, what they're really saying is they don't like you because now you are one. You can't be talking to me and don't like my wife. Why? If you don't like my wife, you don't like me because we are one. My wife won't take the phone for another 15 minutes. We only got 13 minutes in the show. I don't even know if I should hand it over to her, but I'm going to hand it over. You can't do that. All right.
I'm only going to be about a few minutes, and I just want to say and back up what Coach Eric said because we've experienced that also. And women and husbands, please, y'all, men and women, if you're experiencing that, please, be mature about it, okay? Please, don't blow up and start a whole scene and everything. You guys wait till you get home and then you discuss it and then you talk about it because I had to tell Coach Eric the same thing. And it still goes on. You have people that will bust it up with Coach Eric, sit next to him, talk to him and everything, but then won't say two words to me, won't even speak. You know, and they don't understand. It's not so much that you don't like me. I know you don't like my husband either. So it's very, you know, again, like I said, you have to grow up to be mature and start realizing that this is the work of the enemy and that this is coming from a brother, sister, coworker, whoever it's coming from. You got to have a kingdom mindset and realize that this is a soul. So if this is a soul, then I need to even deal accordingly or deal with some type of responsibility because this is a soul. You're not trying to crush or kill that individual.
That's right.
You know, regardless to what anybody ever do to you, your thing should never be retaliating back
right.
to hurt an individual because that person is still a soul, and you never know. Sometimes people are just acting out because of what they've been through,
right.
what they experience,
right.
or the lack of.
Make concessions.
And so you have to begin to be mature and deal with the and get them to prayer, let the Lord show you, even when, because sometimes you may not even be able to say nothing. So I'm giving Coach Eric back the mic.
You know, if you went on for another minute, I was going to probably try to eat another slice of pizza. You know, so she kind of messed up my plan. Because I had an alternate plan just in case, but she gave the mic back. Okay, so we back. Okay, so we start off talking about it. You know, protect yourselves. Protect each other in your marriage. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about friends just for a moment. Because you may see some of your friends change because you're married.
That's right.
And if you detect jealousy, don't be surprised because that's a natural thing.
That's a natural
thing. Okay, it's natural for... Particularly with women, it's natural when you see your friend get married, you're saying to yourself, when is it going to be my turn?
Right.
Okay? And sometimes when, on the other side, on the male's perspective, sometimes when you see your friend get married, it's almost like losing a friend. Because, oh, he's married now. He can't hang out with me long and all night like we used to because now he's married. So men are going, man, you messing up the crew. You know what I mean? That's why men have that attitude when they find out one of the brothers getting married. They're like, oh, you're getting married. You know why? Because you feel like you're losing a friend. And it's only because you love your friend and like being with them. You know that once they get married, you got to deal with the wife. You got to deal with their family man now. So now you got to respect their time. When before, y'all can play basketball, play another game of basketball. Y'all can sit on the bench and talk till 2, 3 in the morning. All right, man, I got to go to work. I'll see you tomorrow. But you can't do that no more once you get married. He might play one or two games, and then he said, look, I got to roll. I got to go pick up my son. I got, you know, he got responsibilities now. So you might see detect a little jealousy, and that's a natural thing. All right? Now, I'm going to get back to this thing about respecting your marriage. Now, the key way to think of this is, if you don't respect your marriage, others won't.
That's right.
Okay, you got to make your father-in-law respect that this is my house over here. Mm-hmm. You got to let your mother-in-law know, listen, I understand that you just always going to be your son, but that's my husband. This is our house here,
yeah.
You know. And y'all got to be a team against that. So when your mommy come to your son and say, your wife said this to me, look, mom, she right. You know, that's my wife. Now, if you can't respect that, I can't have you over here making turmoil in my house. I got to deal with that when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you start a big argument between me and my wife, then you go home with dad. Nah. Mom, if you can't act right, mom, you can't come over here no more. And that would be correct. Okay? What God has joined together, let no man or woman put it asunder. Okay? And if the preacher was a direct preacher and a righteous preacher, when he preached that marriage, he would tell everybody in the audience, I need y'all to stay out of these people's business. Okay? They married now. Y'all mind your business, please. That's what I say when I do weddings. Please, y'all mind your business. Mommy, daddy, please. They married couple now. Your sisters, brothers, hey, look, don't be coming on crashing over my house, spending all the time on my couch. Oh, get out of here. This ain't no singles pad now.
Right.
This is a family home. Respect my home. Okay? To men, listen, bro, change. You ain't the man no more. You belong to your wife. You her man. Okay? So don't have this attitude when you used to be the man. You ain't the man no more. You got married. You want to continue to be the man, don't get married. And being a man has nothing to do with your reproductive organs.
That's right.
All right? Okay, and I said that kind of nice.
Yeah,
I think I was nice. You know, I could have went the other way. You saw what I did right there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, sisters, like I said, don't try to be the center of attention for all men. You want attention, get it from him, your husband.
Yep.
And men, I got to say this, this goes for me and everybody. Pay your wife some attention, please. You know? Listen to this. My wife's going to love this part. When it comes to other women, no type of intimacy is cool.
No.
Not even quiet conversations in the corner. That's even taboo. Again, you do not want to create the wrong impression. Okay? Don't let no woman come and whisper nothing in your ear. Whatever she whispers in your ear, you say it out loud. Especially if your wife is around. Okay? Because I had to wake up to it. I saw women doing things around me, and I didn't understand it. And I was innocent. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know they was playing games and stuff like that, trying to make my wife mad. You know, I had to wake up and really start paying attention to what my wife was saying. You know, and I've said this in other shows. Listen to your wife. When she say things, she ain't just saying it to you. She's not being paranoid or insecure. And if you are being insecure and be paranoid, develop a little character there. Get strong in that area. Okay, but if that's not the case and your wife is saying things to you about women, watch what she's saying. Pay attention because you'd be surprised. You might see exactly what she's talking about. Okay, this we're going to come to our last segment, okay, and we're going to try to close and get out of here. Okay, and this is my final thing I want to say concerning embracing change. If you're going to embrace change, the big thing you got to embrace is you got to embrace God as the ruler of your home. Embrace God as the ruler of your home. God in your marriage, God in your home, God in your decision-making. The word of God, all the rules in the house, it should govern your actions and your activities.
Mm-hmm.
Men, you the head, be the priest in your home.
That's right.
Initiate everything God. I don't have to initiate everything God in my house because my wife is an anointed woman of God. So she initiate prayer as well. Okay, but if your wife is not initiate, you initiate. Be the priest in your home and vice versa.
Yep.
person I always tell women, always, always, please turn your plate down. Sacrifice that meal and pray for your entire family. Sacrifice and consecrate yourself and pray for your family. We had an opportunity to be with, I had to teach my grandchildren how to pray, how to talk to God. And that's what I said. It wasn't so much pray. I want to teach you how to talk to God. You know, I want to teach you how to talk to God about everything. So, yes, I am one of the crazy mothers, grandmothers, aunts, whoever. I believe God for every last person in our family, but definitely my household. You know, everything is not coming in our home. Everything is not presented to me. If it is presented, I have the right and the responsibility to take whatever's presented to me. So a lot of stuff that's presented, I don't even take it because I know what God has called and directed me when it comes to my household as me being the woman in the house. So, yes, please turn down your plea. Please pray. Listen, if you want to join us, we have an online prayer line through Precious Rubies on Facebook at 4 a.m. in the morning. We do it on Sundays and we do it on Wednesdays at 4 a.m. But other than that, the other days we are connecting with each other at 4 a.m. in prayer, ladies. Please meet us in prayer. And we're praying for our government. We're praying for our society. We're praying for our loved ones, our families, our household. Prayer is the key. So, women, please don't stop praying. Pray and cover your husbands. Cover your households.
Amen. And with that, okay, we're going to come to the conclusion of our topic, Embracing Change, by closing with these comments here. All right? Promote the culture of the kingdom of God through marriage. God established the family, which is the church, and the mandate of God. A lot of people don't realize that. God established this. Even our relationship with Christ is considered by the word a marriage. The bridegroom, who is Christ, and who is the bride? We are. Okay, so marriage is the foundation, the snapshot of the kingdom of God. The foundation and constitution of the church is the marriage. So you got to respect your marriage.
Okay, so look, yes, please, please, please respect one another. Respect one another. Love one another. Come on, love one another. Take vacations, people. Yes, take trips, get away, spend time. I don't care if it's sitting in the park with a picnic basket and some sandwiches. I'm serious, and just be with each other and talk about everything. Make the plan for the household. Make the plan for your finances and the next level, where you want to go. Take that time out with each other, okay? So, look, we thank you so much. This is a PJC Media. This is Real Christian Radio, and I'm telling you, we had an awesome time tonight. But, look, we got some awesome, awesome, phenomenal other shows in PJC Media. We have Dovetails with Deborah, and Deborah comes on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. Listen, she's doing a six-month series starting the 17th of June to November the 18th, Separations and Divorce. You want to tune into that show. Also, don't forget the Parker J. Cole Show. That is on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. On Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. That's at 8 p.m. And on Saturdays is the Parker J. Cole Show. And that is Saturdays at 2 p.m. Don't forget the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Listen, hit us up on Facebook. I'll tag that information about the Precious Ruby Prayer Line. If you guys would like to get on that line, go to the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, or look up Francis Harrison, and you will find it. Okay, again, that's Francis Harrison, and I will plug you guys in. Friend me and say, I want the number to the prayer line, and I will make sure I'll get that on there to you guys. Other than that, I'm telling you, don't forget, if you're in Philadelphia, in the neighborhood, we would love to have you at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. I'm telling you, this church is on fire. We're doing great things for the kingdom of God. To God be all the glory. So we thank God for our bishop, our apostle, Dr. Joanne Dixon, who we sit under, and we're just so honored to be here. And again, guess what? It's my birthday tomorrow. Woohoo! So I'm so excited. The Lord is going to allow me to see another year of life, most of all to be with my wonderful husband, my children, my 12 grandchildren, all of my goddaughters and stepdaughters and everybody. I just love and thank God for where he has brought me from and what he is doing. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Listen, we are out. We pray that we bless you. Listen. Use some of that stuff for practice. Amen. And we'll see you guys on next week.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.